do know that normally, when I thought about coming here, you know, it's between Thanksgiving and other holidays. And I was like, what am I going to talk about? And so what I decided was the term, which you so graciously pulled together for us, every opportunity is available to us if we can see it, if we can sense it, if we can be with it. Well, I've had lots of wonderful opportunities this morning to keep figuring it out because I have two computers and one printed off, not my talk. So, anyways, and it's okay. I've got enough study and stuff to make it work. And just FYI, this was, you know, my planning before. So you do a lot of brainstorming, at least I do, before I start. So if I forget some, it's here. If maybe. Actually, it has enough sticky here. I think I can just drop it down. That's what I was doing before. So now I'm ready. I handed out to everybody this handout about a life wheel. Now, when I was here January 2nd, I had the opportunity to connect with the momentum of a new year, beginning, something new. And I did a short visioning with everybody. And everybody came up with, you know, a vision for the new year. Well, I didn't have this tool back then, but the idea of is when you have a vision, it's pulling you to your life versus being pushed by maybe pain or struggle or sorrow or issues or whatever it is, and then you have to move. So this gives you some more choice. And I gotta say, I think this is really interesting when you combine the ceremony that I just witnessed of joys and sorrows. And a lot of times the joy is more easily and readily allowed to see. And then the sorrows is kind of, oh my gosh, you know, should I really share that? Oh my gosh, it's intense. But in this idea of having a vision pulling us, you know, if my vision is clear, now it's clear, right? Then I see the nuances, I feel and sense what needs to occur. And if I don't, then I might not have a lot of choice about what's happening. So this talk is really about teaching us about when in doubt that there's choices, and I called it appreciation and resilience. So if I can practice appreciation, which is what I saw here, appreciating, then when I get to sorrows, I have a skill to maybe look at that and sense it and feel it and bring what to it. So the visioning is like, what am I focusing on? So if I focus on, I want more love and peace and joy in my life, and then I'm having anything but love and peace and joy in my life, how do I bring that joy, peace, and love to the current situation? Every teacher you have probably ever heard says, meditate. Meditate's pretty hard when you're in the middle of deep and profound issues. So what do you do? That's why the visioning is so interesting, because you begin to cultivate something you can lean into, fall into, when things are needing a different type of support. Like maybe in the middle of the sorrow, I can't see the joy, but I could sense and feel my practice of bringing peace and joy or whatever it was I was doing. Maybe eventually it will open up me to that no matter what. So typically, a friend of mine as a minister the other day said something so funny to the audience, and he said, you know, there's no way you're going to get out of here, right? We're going to die. You're going to die. So if that is true, are we going to live until we die well? Are we going to live conscious with love, peace, and joy, let's say? But when in doubt, how do I bring more love, peace, and joy to that situation? You know, you've probably heard this story. Let's see, here it is. But I'm going to read it to you anyways. It's the two wolves. Anybody heard that? About the two wolves? Well, good. Then I'm bringing you a story that you haven't heard. So there's This old man says, I have a fight going on in me. It's taking place between two wolves. One is evil, is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. Now this old man was really speaking to his grandson. And the grandfather looked at the grandson and went on. The other embodies positive emotions. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. Both wolves are fighting to the death. The same fight is going on inside you and every other person. The grandson took a moment to reflect on this. And at last he said to his grandfather and asked, which wolf will win? Which wolf will win? The old Cherokee gave a simple reply, the one you feed. The one you feed. And so that's why this chart, now let me circle around, is interesting. Because where am I having difficulty feeding? Probably will have a different level on here. So any, you know, like let's say when I'm looking at community. Community for me has been most challenging since COVID, because nothing in my world of my definition of community is being satisfied, because I would be in a community consistently all the time and connecting with people. I have really great needs as an extrovert, and they're not getting met, and Zoom is not enough. Zoom is good, and especially if I know somebody, Zoom is good. But there's a place where I can't generate that deep connection that abides in me that works. It's love, peace, compassion, sharing. So it's interesting. It's an interesting time. So which wolves are we feeding? So I would like it just for a minute, and I'm going to read something to you, and I'd like you to contemplate this. Because what I'm going to suggest is that even though it says 2002, my denomination, we've been working with this all year. You know, coming in right now between Thanksgiving and the rest of the holidays, I usually will tell people, hey, you still got to the end of the year to get what you said you wanted for the year. So that what you visioned at the beginning of the year, if you're not feeling that, you know, completely, well, guess what? There's still time. There's still time to cultivate and develop it. So, anyways, I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to consider what is on your paper. Take some time to turn within and contemplate. Just take a few deep, slow breaths with me. I want you to contemplate the aspects of your life. So the first one that pops up, when I read these words, just let yourself kind of glom onto that for a minute. Play, creativity, emotions, your physical body, relationships, nature, finances, home, community. And without judgment or trying to change anything, simply notice. The first one came up. Do you feel constricted? Or did the first one come up and you feel the expansiveness? I bet a lot of you went to the constriction. Unless you really have a sincere practice, which I know we all do. But this morning we're here and I brought up the idea there's two wolves and one of them is kind of negative. All the science, all the research says we're hardwired for, you know, an observing world, and often it observes danger and issues and concern and doubt. Why? Because we need to learn something. We need to learn something. But anyways, What was your experience? More people, how many people felt expansive when I said some of those words and you glommed on one? Good.
Yes.
How many people felt constricted about anything? Good. So now the key is, what are we going to do with that? What was so exciting to see and to hear is how you are using collages as a tool. And I'm going to invite you to do a collage as a group, maybe even, and use this. And take a moment to really have somebody actually do a meditation with you and really let yourself have some space about how is my inner life. And then rate it. And then if after you finish this, then make a decision. What's one thing I can do towards whatever one of these that really sings your heart that needs some work? What's one thing you can do for that between now and the end of the year? So seeing with the eyes of appreciation and resilience is really freedom and liberation. So what if I tell you that, and now we've talked about the potential of the wolf that has all the joy, all the peace, all the power. That's what we have a gift and an opportunity to do, is to really choose in the midst of anything but appreciation and joy to bring something there. What is it that I'm going to bring there? Well, as I was preparing and realized that my computer is not working and I didn't really print out the talk I was going to do, and I'm doing it from memory, I've gotten constrictions, and then I keep expanding and going, you know this stuff. You can do this. It's not as tidy and clean and perfect, but isn't that the way it is? And then when we share that in community, what was going on there? I have the opportunity to stop comparing, to despairing my past and how I've been in the past, and to celebrate and elevate that which is good. There's my two wolves, right? Comparing to despairing. Anybody do that? Do you even know that you do that? When I found that phrase, it was so perfect, because then it gave me some choice. Because often I go way down there, and now I don't. Now I've taught myself, ooh, I'm heading that way. What is now an opportunity is to celebrate and elevate. So the purpose of those two words, I think, is it's a Buddhist practice. But the idea about elevating is really those places where I feel down and out. Can I see the truth and then elevate it with more truth? So I am a grief and loss counselor, and I see the power in the moments that come when we really are with the truth of our grief and loss. And most people shy away from them, run away, and then we have a culture that says, hurry up and get over it, right? No matter what it is. And then guess what? We reinforce, hurry up and get over it. Why? Because that's what we've been taught. So the gift is to start to find out, where are some of my places that I have foibles? So in here, the idea of having a wheel is, if one of my spokes is way in, I'm going to have a more bumpy experience in my life. And so that's where my choice is to bring some more elevated, loving, compassion, whatever it is. Those are my words, but ideas forward. So the other day, my brother died a few months ago, and I've been going through a lot of spiritual practices that I do when I'm with people that are dying, and it was wonderful. I've really learned a lot about my attachments, my constrictions, my inabilities, because my brother and I were kind of estranged, and I had to make it absolutely wonderful. And, oh, gosh, I don't have do I have my phone on me? I do. Well, anyways, so let me tell you a little cool story. So I am in the Seattle Arts Festival. Walking in, it's July 23rd. My friend had taken me, her and her husband, for my birthday. And I'm standing in front of an 8-foot tall totem that has been carved, but it's a lost glass art where they carve and then they pour glass in it. And so you're looking at this 8-foot tall, and it was gorgeously, it was a totem of orange. I don't know how to say it clearly, but it was so beautiful. And I have a picture. I wish I had given it to George. He could put it up for us. But anyways, this totem was so wonderful. And that's when I got the text that my brother had died. And here I am looking at this. And my sister had wanted to make sure I got it as soon as he died because I couldn't be there in Chicago. And I just took a deep breath and I was like overwhelmed with grief and power and intensity. But I felt his joy. I felt his joy of leaving his body because he had been suffering for 38 years. So it was really an amazing moment. But if I didn't have some skill about what is going on and I'm in public and facility about the fact that I have a right to have my feelings and a right to feed what works for me, I might not have had a good experience, but I had a powerful experience. So when you have these moments, do you have the skill to embrace them, I guess is what we're looking at. So in the talk, somewhere on my pages here, it says, embrace, empower, embody, right? Those are like the things that are really going to help us understand that everywhere there's an opportunity, everywhere, and in every moment. And when in doubt, if it doesn't show up there, then I've got to do, maybe embrace that moment and go get a skill. So let's say with my community, when I was saying in here, community is challenging. So I do work on this regularly. I have a community of folks. We meet monthly and we play dominoes and we've been doing it for 15 years. And it's wonderful, but you know, it's not, well, we are a spiritual community. We're all from spiritual places. But it's not quite the same as coming and gathering and coming and connecting with God is, faith is, love is, peace is. Can you be the spark, especially in the dark? That's the key. And the key of being a spark in the dark is to recognize those two wolves. Which one is about to run? Which one is going to go? Which one's going to take over the moment? So, let's see. So when it seems your back is against the wall, and it says, and you can turn around, well, what if you can't turn around? That's where you have to go deep within and be the sparkle, be the love, be your own powerful moment in the midst of your everything. And then what do? So there's a place where times are people call, some of us that are in these new thought churches, where even, it's not so true probably of UU, but many of the other ones, that we tend to look for the good and praise that. But there's a reason why we do that. And the reason is to become a resource in the middle of those places where I need to be a champion or a warrior of something other than easy and no big deal. You know, there's grades of response in the world. And I want to empower that we have choices. And in those choices is the divine. Now, one of the things that really connects me to Sparkle is the concept of beauty. And I did tell you that I was looking at a beautiful statue when my brother dies, right? And it's on my phone so that I can see it all the time, that there was a moment that was beyond my understanding. And I was connected. My brother was connected. Now, I'm making that up, right? I'm anthropomorphizing a statue. But I have a right to do that. What draws me into my highest good? is why it's time to open up and receive in those moments of challenge. I keep wanting to look at these folks. Hi. And see how they're taking the talk. Anyways. Hi, folks. Oh, I know. It's good. Well, you know, another interesting thing about my eyes, I'm so distracted on one level, is that there's, you notice stuff out the sides now that I wasn't noticing. So, seeing with the eyes of appreciation and resilience is freedom and liberation. And it's hard to always appreciate what's before us. But it's so important. And then what's important is to remember, have you had any times where you could draw from those moments when, you know, 2 years later you go, oh, you know, that really was a good thing that happened, even though it was the worst thing that ever happened to me. So it's about continuity and choosing. And in the continuity, there's this concept called consistency over time. Choosing consistently over time produces magnificent results. Magnificent results. So when in doubt and where in doubt am I, you know, where am I most in my foibles? I was in my research for this talk. It was fascinating. There happened to be a global resilience conference, and I needed continuing ed, and so I took it. And one of the speakers said, it's really important, and she was, she's a major player in the world of consciousness about Buddhism, shamanism, but she's also black, and she's very conscious about all sorts of stuff that's been going on in the world. And she said, there's a problem, you know, there's the voice that, like the wolf, that's really intense and really screaming. And then there's the wolf that's real happy. So there's a continuum there, right? And she said, what's really important and what most people are missing is the parts that are not doing either. You know, the unconscious part, but also the muted parts. Those are the ones that need our attention, but we really haven't taken much time to think about that. So the space between these two wolves is a whole lot of other stuff. And typically, you know, I don't want you to get nervous like I sometimes do. I go, oh my God, one more thing I got to figure out and think about. But I can hold the space that the potential is I could bring my conscious awareness to that. So my conscious awareness of that space where there might be muted people not talking, I think the world has showing us so much about what happened when we muted a lot of people. And we're getting the results of that. And so right now, I'm even more heightened that it's imperative that I develop my inner skills so I'm really ready for those moments. Because I got to tell you, I can be just like everybody and go, oh no, I don't want to deal with this. I'm out of here. Even as trained and skilled as I am, it's hard. And that's why being in like-minded and with other people, when I have one of those moments, I can kind of lean into them to find out, okay, now how are we going to move forward? Because I see, and that's why I love you so much, is that, you know, we've got to be a we. You know, we talked about that earlier. It's a we thing, and it's the community, and it's the community consciousness that can match that muted energy. Even though, I don't know about you, I don't trust it sometimes. I don't trust that that's really going to work. And I get scared, and I run away. I think it's not going to be enough. But it is. It's even more than I realize when I look at the longevity of the people that I love and have incredible focus and skill, like Gandhi and Martin Luther King. And so, yes, I don't know what to do, what's in front of me some days, but if I bring my wholeness and I bring my awareness, and I'm speaking in me, but I'm encouraging you to be in the universal I am. You know, can you develop that? Can you really trust that? Your presence is enough when you show up in those moments between. Your presence is enough. Again, I'm so all over the place. I appreciate you. I, in my research, came up with a phrase for myself. And then I had a phrase for this opportunities everywhere. So this is a positive affirmation that I encourage you just to consider. I am open, receptive, and available to all the good life is offering to me right now. I declare peace, abundance, grace, and love. I now receive in gratitude. So the idea is, if I'm resourced and resilient right there, then I'll probably face anything or anyone with something that's wonderful, that's skillful, that's capable. Recognizing my presence is enough. So I am open, receptive, and available to all the good that life is offering me right now, even in the midst of something that isn't seem good. I am good. I'm connected. I am whole. So I declare in the middle of those two wolves, peace, abundance, grace, and love. And now I'm willing to receive or see the possibility, and I can be in gratefulness. Partially where I'm coming from, by the way, is because we just did Thanksgiving. So a lot of this is influenced by the state of consciousness. And states are different than traits. States are random, and states can be cultivated and developed to become traits. So that's why we use, sometimes people think we're using it too much, the positive to mirror and match the negative or the challenging or the deep intensity. So then I came up with this one for myself after all this last few days, and I wish my talk was here because it was so brilliant how it would segue in. But I am a part of the collective coherence, and we are the immune system, strengthening hope to liberate the ability to respond with global solutions. I have felt anything but that since I have been connected to a church, a physical church, a group. So I decided to jump back in and figure out how to do that. So in my wheel of wonder, I've got to bring a sense of wonder. How am I going to develop that? And what's one thing I can do before the end of the year to bring my sense of completion and connection to my what I want in my life? I'm tired of being pushed by pain. The pain of the world is so intense. And as a minister, we tune in at that level all the time. I know you do too, but you know, it's part of my calling. I was all about social justice and grief and loss. That's my background. Well, I need to cultivate something other than that, right? I do on a daily basis, but when you talk about one slice of what's going on, it sounds, the mirror is there, the negative and the positive. The two wolves are sitting in the room. So as we were just considering this, I'm just going to have you think one more minute in here with me. How are we doing on time? I'm almost done. So I do want to bring back those two words, compare to despair and celebrate to elevate. Now, the tendency is to look at this and then think I've got to learn something new or then I'll be okay. And just imagine the possibility exists there that you're doing some compare and despairing. And let it be a different opportunity of feedback to, okay, now I need something needs to be elevated here. Elevated in me, elevated in my sight, elevated in what? And to draw from the inner strengths of, there's always strengths, but in the, whatever I'm judging here that isn't, needs something from the other part of me to come in and go, honey, you know, scoop it up and love it up. Embrace, empower, and embody. Be the spark in your life in the dark. And listen carefully to that space in between. Check and see if you're muted in some way. And if you are, take a deep breath in, take a deep breath out, and choose. which one am I going to feed? And I want to circle back before I close to when I drove up here today. It was stunning. Nature does something for me, and something about your... in the old days, Mount Vernon wasn't, you know, living in Seattle, I'm 40 years. Mount Vernon was like out there, and I had no idea what they were. But I've been coming now for 30 years, but this morning was a whole new way of coming. And I know it's because I had eye surgery, and there's something different, and I've chosen something different. But I want you to be as excited about your life as I was as looking at that, coming here this morning. And in the midst of my foibles, showing up anyways and saying, good morning. Thanks for listening.